This podcast is supported by Understood Explains. As parents, we are often having to figure out things as we go, and that is very true for our children's education. And to help you out, I want to tell you about a podcast called Understood Explains. This season is hosted by teacher and special education expert Uliana Ortube, and she discusses all the things you'd want to know about individual education plans, or IEPs, what they are, why they're needed, who benefits from them, and what to expect when you have meetings with teachers. I could have really used this podcast when my son had an IEP for speech when he was six. I was overwhelmed trying to understand the process and what everything meant. The episode on Understood Explains, Does My Child Need an IEP, was the kind of info that would have really helped me get the most out of the educational support of the IEP for my son. And if you need that kind of support, I really recommend this podcast. To listen to Understood Explains, search for Understood Explains in your podcast app. That's Understood Explains. Welcome to Mom in Mind. I'm perinatal psychologist and host Dr. Kat. There's more to the story than just postpartum depression, and this podcast aims to share it all. From personal stories and lived experience to experts who break down the ups and downs of life from getting pregnant, pregnancy, perinatal loss, and postpartum adjustment to parenthood. While this is not psychotherapy or medical advice, it is all of the stuff you ever wanted to know about mental health and new parenthood. Welcome back to the Mom in Mind podcast. I'm your host, Dr. Kat. On our episode today, I am joined by Jackie Werboff. She's a licensed mental health therapist in private practice. And like many therapists in this field of perinatal mental health, she began specializing herself after her own experience. And prior to that, she had specialized in mental health treatment of complex and developmental trauma. And now Jackie has earned her certification in perinatal mental health and specializes in working with mothers, birthing persons, and their family members. Jackie shares with us the medical and emotional experience that she had with COVID at 2 weeks postpartum and how that sparked undiagnosed depression and anxiety and intrusive thoughts. And you can imagine worry and fear. That was such a difficult time to be pregnant or have kids or be in any kind of vulnerable state where you are also then getting COVID. She also talks about how she had some symptoms return after returning to work from maternity leave, and then her experience of becoming pregnant again after her initial experience going through perinatal mental health conditions and what that was like for her. And I think that's an important thing that she is talking about and kind of bringing up in people's thought process, because after you go through something really difficult like depression or anxiety during pregnancy or postpartum, it's hard to imagine how you're going to get through pregnancy again. But what is also great is that when you know what's going on, that you can get the right help and set up things beforehand to prevent having a really, really bad postpartum. And so now we're going to hear from Jackie. Welcome, Jackie. Thank you for being with us.
Hey, Dr. Kat. Thank you for having me.
I'm grateful that you want to come on and share your story and, you know, what you've been through in the last handful of years and where it's brought you now. So yeah, wherever you're comfortable sharing your story, just start there.
Yeah, sure. Really feels nice to have an opportunity to share, and just want to say thank you to you and all of your former guests who have shared their story, because it's been such a big part of my own healing journey. Yeah. So thank you for that, and happy to be adding to the collection of stories here. So yeah, I really want to share about my postpartum experience. And my first child, my son, was born at the end of May in 2021. And we were having, at least in my area, I'm in Florida, we were having a bit of a COVID reemergence. I think we had kind of just, you know, hit our year mark or so, a little over a year. And I think people were starting to want to live their lives more and engage more. And the vaccine had become available. And right as my son was being born, especially right after my son was born, we just had this huge surge in our area. And my son and I ended up getting COVID when I was 2 weeks postpartum. And it was so, I think, so much a part of I think for me, it really was the spark for what would become completely undiagnosed postpartum depression and just major anxiety, intrusive thoughts, just a really, really challenging experience that I had and that my son had too.
Yeah, absolutely. So, right. I mean, that's during that time, anyways, from where I'm sitting, that was a huge fear. And to some extent, it still is a bit. But at that time, there was, we knew a little bit, but not a lot. Everything was kind of, had been really scary. So when, how did you find out? Like, did you have symptoms? What was going on that, 2 weeks postpartum, you figured that out?
Yeah, for sure. So just to rewind a little bit, you know, just to speak to, I had a really good pregnancy. I worked my whole pregnancy. I worked a day or two past my due date. And, you know, it was pretty uneventful in terms of, you know, I was lucky to not have anything too much happen. And my birth, you know, his birth was, it was challenging, but it was what I wanted. I wanted to have an unmedicated birth and I was able to do that. And, you know, so all of that went as planned. And I gave birth in a hospital and I just felt I was very lucky. I had really good care. I felt like they respected everything I wanted, you know, so everything really was working in our favor in that way. And he was, you know, healthy and, you know, just so lucky on all accounts. Everything was going well. And we had gotten home and my husband was, I think he had taken, I can't remember exactly, a week or two off. It might've been 2 weeks actually that he was home with us and we were doing well. He had just returned to work. It was one of his first days back to work. And at the time he was working 12-hour shifts in a healthcare setting. So he was gone for like ever kind of during the day. And a couple of days in, I remember starting to feel, you know, these intense temperature changes in myself. And I thought it was normal hot flashes and cold flashes as is often hormonally kind of, I don't know, sparked. So at first I thought it was just me kind of going through these like, you know, hormone shifts and stuff. I felt fine otherwise. And at one point I was home alone with my son and I took my temperature and I had like 105 degree fever.
What? That's alarming.
I was shocked. I didn't feel that crappy yet. I just felt really, really hot and then really, really cold and then really hot. So I was alarmed at my temperature. I couldn't believe that. I rechecked a few times. It remained consistent. And I reached out to my husband about it. And he was like, let's like keep an eye on that, obviously. And in the meantime, what we had found out was that a very close family member of ours who had been over to see us and to cook for us and to meet baby and to help, what we had found out around this exact same time that I was registering these high fevers was that they had been hospitalized for COVID.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
yes.
My gosh.
That's
so scary.
Yeah. So scary. And so I had started to become pretty worried that that's what was happening to me. And I reached out to my doctor's office, my midwife office, and they had done some screening over the phone, kind of to rule out mastitis and things like that, I think. And, you know, the nurse recommended I go get a flu test and a COVID test. And I, so, you know, at this time we didn't have home tests yet. And I think that's an important thing to just recall myself because things feel so different now. We can just rapidly test anytime. But at this time you had to go somewhere. And so, and it was hard. It was like, I had to like get an appointment and like kind of I had to plan. I couldn't just like leave the house and like go. I had to like wait for an appointment. And so I remember like, and I was starting to feel crappy at this point. I was starting to like feel more than just the like body aches and things like that were happening. And so my son, I remember my son had woken up from a nap and once he woke up, I got him in his, you know, I got him all ready and we drove to the urgent care and I tested positive for COVID. And at this point he had no symptoms yet at all. It was just me. So we get home that night and I still wasn't too bad off. It was still mostly just like fevers and I could function is my point. And so, you know, I try to, you know, I of course go on the CDC website and try to read all the things about, am I still allowed to breastfeed? And like, what do I do? And I followed all their recommendations. It was to wear a mask around baby and to continue breastfeeding. But, you know, I'd been unmasked around him for all this time. So I masked, my husband and I tried to keep distance, but I moved to a different bedroom, things like that. And I think he went back to work. You know, he tested negative. He got tested too. He was negative. I think he went back to work at some point throughout the early few days. And I just got worse and worse and worse and worse and worse and worse. And it was remarkable because I mean, I had pretty much all of the textbook symptoms on high, like my fevers. I cycled through these intense fevers just all day long. Like that was the thing I remember the most, just these intense body experiences of freezing cold, burning hot, and cycling through every few hours.
Oh, gosh.
But, and the body, yeah, it was. And so basically my life became kind of overnight. My life became like timing when I could take the next, like, whether it was ibuprofen or acetaminophen, it was like every 4 hours. Like, that's what I lived for. I lived for like the tiny relief that that could offer me. But I just kept getting worse. And a really interesting thing occurred where I haven't really seen this. Like, I haven't heard of this as a symptom of COVID necessarily, but I certainly had it. It wasn't just food that I couldn't really tolerate or taste. I couldn't tolerate even water, which is very strange because I am a huge fan of water all the time. And I would try so hard to drink water. And I just, like, I couldn't tolerate it. It's the strangest thing to describe. It was like a major aversion.
Wow.
And so between,
like, when
between
you need just, it the most.
Yeah. When I need it the most.
Yeah.
And of course, I was breastfeeding. And so I experienced, and I'm sure this affected my mood significantly, because I experienced over the course of a few days, this like rapid decline in milk production. I mean, I went from like, feeding my son all day and pumping to create like a reserve to hardly getting anything at all out at all. And it was really heartbreaking because I enjoyed breastfeeding and I wanted to continue. And it kind of felt like, you know, that in these the first week or so, like each day that came, there was like another level of like worst case scenario. Like,
oh no.
At a certain point, I, you know, was like, I really, as long as I can keep breastfeeding. And then my milk was like gone. Like it was like gone. And I was like power pumping and I was, you know, I was still putting him, you know, on my breast. And like, we went through my frozen milk stash, like in a couple days, all the while I'm like rapidly declining just in my capacities. Like it was a few days in where like, I really couldn't parent him anymore. My husband had to take like significant time off of work. Mm. He ended up filing for like short-term disability to take care of our baby. And so I was just really in this like weird, like just out of sort of body state for a long time, just feeling really not okay. And then one night, you know, we were in like major sleep deprivation too. My son was waking up, you know, every few hours. And one night I had gotten up with him, you know, masked, hand sanitized, all the things. And I'm sitting there trying to nurse him or feed him or give him a bottle. Cause at one point we had to switch to formula cause I just wasn't producing anymore. And that was heartbreaking for me.
Yeah.
And
this is still like how many weeks postpartum?
Yeah. This is probably like, probably 3 weeks postpartum at this point, so this something like that.
Super quickly, everything
super
changed.
Quick. Everything changed like super quick. And my mood, I mean, I was just like in this really dark place. I mean, I couldn't take care of my baby. I couldn't really even feel okay in my body. I was like isolated in this bedroom. I mean, and I was feeding him one night in the middle of the night, trying to, you know, whatever, whether it was a bottle or whatever I was doing. And I remember I kept trying to avoid this being true, but I noticed that I was having trouble breathing. And I knew that that was like the hospital moment. At this point, I'd already been to urgent care. Like I had tried some things that, of course, doctors were hesitant to prescribe me because I was breastfeeding. And I had tried some things to deal with some of the symptoms. I don't think anyone, including myself, realized how severe my symptoms were becoming.
Mm-hmm.
I certainly didn't realize it until I was noticing and trying to avoid the noticing that I was having trouble catching my breath. And so at that point, I woke my husband up and he worked in healthcare. I mean, he was on top of it. He was constantly asking me about my symptoms and if I could breathe and things that was on his radar. And the last thing I wanted, so like each day was like another level of worst case scenario. And then like the very last thing I wanted was to be separated from my son. Like, like I was so terrified of having to leave him, like for hospitalization, for example. I was so scared of that. All the while having pretty much an impossible time, like caring for him.
Of
I mean,
course.
How could he do anything.
Like I assume you're by this time, like dehydrated also.
I'm super dehydrated. I can't eat. I can't drink water. And emotionally speaking, I'm like deteriorating because I'm super isolated and I'm starting to have a really difficult time tolerating my son's fussiness. And we didn't know this at the time. We learned later that he also had COVID this whole time, but he was definitely not feeling well. And so he was not sleep. I mean, newborns, of course, sleep inconsistently anyway, but he was sleeping so poorly. He would sleep for a half an hour and then he'd wake up. And so our sleep was so interrupted too. Mm-hmm. And I was finding myself getting like scary reactions in my mind about my son. Like, couldn't soothe him. He wouldn't calm down. And like, just there were these nights where like I'd be alone in the room with him, like wanting to scream, wanting to just like, I mean, these, so the intrusive thoughts actually started then. Mm-hmm. I realized later, like the intrusive images and thoughts and urges began actually then.
Yeah.
And so everything was just so hard. Like it was just so difficult. And I don't think anyone realized how severe my physical symptoms or my emotional symptoms were. And so I woke my husband up at like, you know, 3 a.m. or something and told him like, I'm having trouble breathing. I think we need to go to the hospital. And that was the scariest. I mean, I was so scared to say that because I did not want to be separated from them, even though I was like having the most impossible time anyway. And so we go to the hospital, you know, they do the, take me in, they say they want to admit me.
So the family member of our, their like assessment, they can see right away that you need a lot of support.
This podcast is supported by Posh Peanut. Raising a family can be tough, as we know, and it can also be amazing and beautiful. Posh Peanut gets it, which is why they make beautiful, soft clothing that is tough enough to withstand all of the rough and tumble of childhood, and they have sizing for parents as well. You could even get matching clothing for the whole family. Made from viscose from bamboo, the clothes stretch with your kid as they grow and are 4 times stretchier than cotton. These clothes are made to last, loved by parents and approved by kids. Posh Peanut makes thoughtfully crafted, beautiful, and stylish clothing for kids and families designed in-house, from beautiful florals to your favorite brands such as Hot Wheels, Disney, Hello Kitty, and Barbie. It's also breathable and chemical-free, which means they're delicate on sensitive skin. So I got my Posh Peanut loungewear, and I've been putting it on, especially after my long client days, because I need the instant comfort and relaxation. It's one of the ways that I do my self-care because the soft, stretchy fabric of the Posh Peanut loungewear is really comforting to me. Right now, Posh Peanut is offering our listeners 20% off your first order with promo code MIND. Go to poshpeanut.com/mind and use promo code MIND for 20% off your first order. That's poshpeanut.com/mind, promo code MIND.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Brie.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Brie, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model, so that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun, so check out the No-Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
Right away. Yeah. They did like a, I don't remember if it was like an EKG or something on my chest, or I can't remember what it was, but they could tell my lungs were like not okay. And so, you know, I was having more and more trouble breathing at that point. And they admitted me. It was my biggest fear. I was terrified. My husband left with our son, and I was so devastated.
I was so devastated. Because at that point, nobody was allowed in.
No.
That it's just you.
This
is horrible.
Yeah, it was really, really scary. It was really terrifying. So I get admitted, and the weirdest thing too, I mean, 3 weeks prior, I had been there giving birth to him, like same hospital. And like, I think I was even in the same room, just one floor above. Like it was the strangest experience. Like it was so weird. The room was the same layout. Like it was so weird. Mm-hmm. And basically I was there for 3 days, which thank goodness it wasn't longer. I thought I'd be there longer. I think the doctors thought I'd be there longer too, but I had IV antibiotics and I had you know, they gave me steroids, which helped right away, open my lungs up. Mm-hmm. And my entire life became watching the camera at home to like keep an eye on my son and like just feel, try to feel connected to him. I felt so disconnected. And power pumping because I was determined. I was determined to get my milk back if I possibly could. Trying to drink water, trying to eat food. Like my whole life basically for those 3 days became like, I just have to like, I have to get better. Like I have to do these things. I did improve quickly with the medications they gave me, which thank goodness. And they let me go home, I think earlier than they might have otherwise because they knew, oh gosh. I mean, I was an emotional wreck too. I was sobbing. While I was in the hospital, we learned that my son had COVID. Like we, my husband had was able to obtain a rapid test from his employer that he was able to do at home on my son. And he tested positive. Oh my gosh. I mean, it was just like so hard. My husband was having a really hard time at this point with his level of sleep deprivation and fear.
And still nobody could come and help any of you because of COVID.
Exactly. Risk. There was like no help available. Mm-hmm. It was a really dark time. And something interesting happened for me though, among all of the challenge that that was, being away from my son, as deeply painful as it was, actually offered this really important perspective that I'm very grateful for because I was having this really hard time with him at home, you know, trying to parent him and he wasn't feeling well and he was fussy and none of the things that were working in the first 2 weeks worked anymore. Like, none of the soothing techniques, none of, he was sleeping. I mean, not at all. He would be awake for like, and again, at like 3 weeks postpartum, 3 weeks old, he'd be awake for like 6 hours at a time, 8 hours at a time, like these crazy stretches that were like concerning for his safety. Really. I was so worried about everything. And so I was having this really hard time being with him before I was hospitalized. Like I had these thoughts of like, I think we have to give him up for adoption. I don't think I can like parent him. Like, how, you know, just these very defeating like beliefs and thoughts of like my inability to do this. That was I was really living with that for a while there. And that was horrible. And so being away from him, it was almost like I don't want to say snapped out of it because like I would shift in and out of that later. But it gave me almost this like, all I want is to be with him, regardless of like whether he sleeps or not. Whether I can soothe him or not, like, I don't even care anymore. I just need to be near him. And I'm really grateful for that because that was really important to me to be able to get to that place, even in this hard way.
Yeah, it's something to hold on to. It's motivating for sure because you have to figure out how to take, I mean, get out of the hospital and
get back home.
Get back home for sure. I thought you need something to hold on to in such dark times.
Absolutely. Yeah. So I got home and I was really motivated to get my breast milk back still, which was non-existent pretty much. And I really wanted to breastfeed him again. And of course, they discharged me with all these medications that I had been taking medications that were not safe for breastfeeding. And they discharged me with follow-up medications. And I was very clear with the doctor. I said, I want to keep breastfeeding. I don't want to take anything that is going to keep me from being able to continue doing that with him after a few days. And so I made the choice to not continue with some of the things, which I don't know how I feel about that. I mean, I wanted to continue breastfeeding. So for a few days, I waited the length of time for the stuff I had taken in the hospital to clear my system while continuing to try power pumping and really getting like minimal results, like nothing. My son continued with formula. Oh, thank goodness. My sister-in-law was still, she was still pumping. She had a 1.5-year-old at the time and she was still breastfeeding and pumping. And she was so kind so that she gave us some milk. And so he did have breast milk and formula, both. He always had breast milk the whole time, which was such a gift. That was really, really wonderful of her. That was like a relief for me because of course, thank goodness for formula. And I really wanted him. He was so sick. He needed antibodies. He needed he needed as much help as he could get. So I got home and I am feeling better. I can breathe and I'm so happy to like be able to be around my son and to not have to wear a mask anymore. My husband never got COVID, which is remarkable. I think because he, I can only imagine he had been vaccinated at that point and we, I had not yet. And that's my guess, my best guess, but he never got sick. Thank goodness. I don't know what would have happened if that had occurred. I have no idea. But I continued to struggle. So now at this point, I'm probably like 4 weeks postpartum. Mm. And for the next month or so, my husband continued to have time off of work. He took a month off from when I first started to not be able to parent. I continued to struggle significantly with my mental health and the hormones and all of it. I still felt really crummy, like the brain fog from COVID that people talk about. Right. That was really real. That was really, really real. I couldn't even think about, there was like the simplest things, like opening an app on my phone felt too complicated. You know, like things that are just so easy to do. The brain fog was like so intense. And emotionally, I felt so down. I felt so depressed. I felt so like disconnected and sad and also so anxious. I started to have different intrusive thoughts, like, We have two floors in our house. So I started to have the thoughts about, and I didn't know what these were at the time either. I had no clue what was happening to me. I just thought I was a, you know, bad mom or like, you know, going crazy or, you know, all the things, right, that we hear. So I had thoughts about me falling down the stairs with him or me dropping him down the stairs. I had thoughts about, I tried doing a lot of like smoothies after I got home, really trying to like hydrate and stuff. And I had these crazy thoughts of like, him being in the blender when I turned it on, which, you know, just intrusive. And so that was really difficult. And I didn't know how to tell anybody about that. Like that just felt terrifying, very scary. So I just sort of lived with that. And he, so his symptoms continued on. His symptoms were like a fever that was just below the hospitalization threshold. So thankfully we never had to take him to the hospital, but I was really scared of that.
Yeah.
We almost did a couple of nights. It was right there at the edge. You could tell he was uncomfortable. You know, he couldn't sleep.
And so there's at this point still there's not enough that anyone could do to soothe him, to ease him into any kind of regular sleep.
That's absolutely right. Yeah. And that got really tough for us. I started taking these, like, I was in touch with the lactation consultants about my milk, and really, like, I was starting to feel really, like, defeated. I felt like my breastfeeding journey is over. I continued power pumping. I was pretty determined, and I had started taking these, like, milk, like, these herbal supplements, like the fenugreek stuff, and it was looking pretty dire for a while. We had been in touch with a sleep consultant for our son because his sleep was so off the charts of what could have been considered regular. Right. He was having these huge wake windows that like had to be bad for his brain and his body. And there was nothing we could do. And so there was one day where the stars just aligned. Things just like got better. It was just like one day he slept for like a normal nap. And then I like pumped like a total of 3 ounces that day. And like, you know, I felt a little bit better that like, it was like this one day where there was just this like moment of hope. And it was like, okay, like, I think we're going to be okay. Like, I think we could be okay here. Like his sleep is getting a little bit better. And like, here comes a little more milk. And like little by little, like I think, thank goodness was able to, I mean, you know, I had come to terms with the fact that he might just have to be on formula if I couldn't get my milk back. I had made peace with that. And I wanted to try everything possible. And I was able to do it, which I'm, you know, grateful for beyond words. Very grateful.
Yeah, I mean, you were up against quite a bit. And there's a lot that interferes with with being able to produce milk. And some of that is dehydration, obviously.
Yeah. Yeah.
Sleep deprivation and stress. And I don't know personally how COVID impacts those things like on its own. Let's say as if everything else is okay, what does COVID do?
Right. Right.
Maybe somebody knows, but I don't.
Yeah.
So there's these like so many factors that you're working against.
Yeah, for sure.
And with little to no help. I mean, other than you and your husband.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
So this is like that. At about how many weeks was he when things started to feel a little better?
I want to say he was around 6 weeks old when things started to feel a little bit better.
Let's say like a solid month of just horribleness.
Yeah, I would say that's a fair time frame.
I don't know if that's a word, but horribleness is what. And I mean, you were talking about all like these worst case scenarios continuing to happen. And so of course your anxiety is going to go through the roof when things are already uncertain, and then more of these things continue to happen. And while things are so fragile, you are vulnerable. He is. I don't know how it registers for you. I mean, obviously in terms of like mental health, this was horrible. And you, I mentioned before, you didn't quite know what was going on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I don't know if you didn't have the fog of COVID, if it would have been any more clear, but a lot of people don't know what's going on.
Right.
Because so much is happening during this time.
Yeah. Yeah, that's right.
If you're a parent, I invite you to join us at the Mindful Mama podcast, where it's all about becoming a less irritable, more joyful parent. With sometimes hilarious and always thought-provoking experts and friends, at Mindful Mama, we know that you cannot give what you do not have. And when you have calm and peace within, then you can give it to your children. I'm Hunter Clark Fields, and I can't wait to see you there. Listen in to the Mindful Mama podcast.
Oh, hey, everybody.
It's us, Blair and Molly, your old pals from Toddler Purgatory. Two moms who are also actors, who are also creative beings, who sometimes feel stuck.
And now we're back with a whole new podcast about unsticking it, launching in January. What happens when life gets in the way of our creativity instead of nourishing it?
We talk to all sorts of guests about how to break through the mucky, gluey, sticky wall that can get between you and your creativity. We hear about their journeys, their successes, their challenges, and even their bougie coffee shop orders.
So, join us, won't you, as we deep dive into how to unstick ourselves from the life gunk that can get in the way of our creative freedom.
Get out of there, life gunk.
Let us help you get back to your best creative self. Look for Unsticking It with Blair and Molly.
Wherever you listen to podcasts, starting in January.
Unsticking It with Blair and Molly. Because sometimes life sucks.
Unsticking it. As a therapist, we're experiencing all of these things and also didn't quite know what was going on.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Can you say more about that? What that was? I mean, now after the fact, I guess what that was like for you.
In hindsight, I have so much more perspective now. At the time, it was nothing that made any sense. It was just so confusing. I felt really, really ashamed. I mean, the depth of shame that I experienced from my own inability. I mean, there was a true lack of ability for a while to really parent. I mean, that was real. That wasn't just perceived. That was like very real based on my symptoms you know, but then just the amount of shame of just like, and I don't really believe this, but like at the time, you know, like I'm supposed to be this like helping professional therapist person. And I can't even get my own, like, I can't even get my own shit together. I can't even like feel okay, you know, about anything. And so there was just so much shame around it too. I was very worried, especially with the intrusive thoughts. I was very worried that I was going to, and this logically makes no sense, but I was worried I was going to like lose my license, I was going to lose my license to practice therapy if I told somebody about that. Mm-hmm. I was worried I would be hospitalized for, you know, psychiatric care. I was very worried about something like that happening if I were to tell anybody anything.
Right. Okay. So that's a whole other layer to this. It's all of this is happening internally. Did your husband know, or did you keep that also from him?
He knew that I was struggling. Like he could tell. I definitely was not like putting on a happy face for him. He knew I was struggling. He knew I was not myself. Once he had to go back to work, which I did, I was capable of caring for our son when he went back to work. He didn't go back too soon in terms of that. I was still struggling emotionally though, when he went back to work, and he would ask me things that I'm grateful that he asked these things. I'm grateful he knew to ask these things. He would say like, do you think you want to hurt yourself? Do you think you want to hurt, as our son's name? Like, you know, like he would ask me these things, you know, like, and my answer was no. And that was true. That was a true answer. I didn't want to hurt anybody, but I felt so low that, you know, it sort of just like passively, like if I wasn't here anymore, that would be relief. You know, I didn't want to hurt anybody. I didn't want to hurt anymore. So, you know, I never ended up in the realm of like suicidal plan or active suicidal thoughts, but he knew I was like emotionally struggling to the point where he would ask me those questions.
Yeah.
He checked in with me all day long once he went back to work. And he was like on the camera all the time, checking on us. I mean, I feel like I had great support from him, truly. I just was struggling so hard.
Yeah, especially when it feels the, I mean, the concern is that you'll lose more if you say.
Yeah. Yeah, totally.
Sort of lost quite a bit in terms of that time and the experience you wanted. And I mean, I'm putting what my assumptions are on this.
No, that's all
how
true.
It felt to you.
All true. But, yes.
Right. And this is not how you were picturing this going.
Not at all. No, not at all. Right. Not at all. And so I did have 3 months off from full-time work. I got back into part-time very, very minimally. I kind of slowly went back into seeing some of my private practice clients, but I didn't go back to my full-time treatment center job until 3 months postpartum. And so I did have like at least like a month there where I felt like I could like enjoy and like I was kind of back to myself and I was able to engage with others. And I felt like I actually had like, I really got to develop this bond with my son and we were doing things together. It felt good. And then I would say about a month or so, my last month of maternity leave was that. And it was really nice. And then I went back to work full time. And so that was like, you know, 40 hours a week kind of deal. And he was in daycare. And that was like, I thought I was better. And that was when more of the rage, that was when the rage came. So I was so overwhelmed. I was so emotionally fragile still and so overwhelmed. And I go back to work to this, you know, very meaningful, but very intense treatment center. And then, you know, so all day long, I feel like I'm kind of giving more of myself than I can at work. Yep. And then I come home to my baby who's been at daycare all day. And all I want to do is be there with him and take care of him. And then, you know, he goes to sleep and then we have to make, you know, all the things. We got to make the bottles for the next day and I'm pumping all day long. And like, I started to really have trouble with my husband at this time. This is when we really started to have some, I started to have some major issues. Everything he did was bothering me. I felt he was very dismissive of me. It's weird because he was so supportive in these ways when I was really not okay. And then I go back to work and I just feel like I can't handle it. Like it was thoroughly overwhelming. Plus, you know, we're still waking up like multiple times a night. And it was so hard. I mean, I remember waking up like things that are no big deal, like feeding the animals in the morning. You know, we've got like several different kinds of animals and like feeding the animals in the morning is like, whatever, it's no big deal. It takes whatever, a few minutes. But at that time, I remember that being so much work, like so much work, like to feed the cat, to feed the dogs, to feed the bird. Like it was so much work. And my husband works really, really early. So he would leave for work way before like I was awake, way before baby was awake. And so I felt very alone, like trying to get myself ready and my son ready and the animals fed and like get us all out of the house in time to get to work. It just became, it was like a whole nother level of like postpartum depression, but it was like the rage version. Like I was just angry all the time and like going off on my husband all the time about feeling invalidated and unseen and all these things. And so I ended up in therapy then. That was when I then was like, this is not working. Like I have to go, I've got to do something. And I worked with a therapist, wonderful experience. And it was through that work that I was able to work through some of my own stuff around workaholism and that maybe at this phase, 40 hours a week of work is not serving me or sustainable. And I made some tough choices and decided to shift out of treatment center work and into full-time private practice, which was absolutely the right choice because I don't have to work as much anymore.
Yeah. I don't know what kind of treatment center it was, but most work in treatment centers is depleting anyways, if you've got nothing else going on.
Yeah, that's right.
Even if you've got nothing else going on, it's intense work.
Yeah.
Right. And I mean, you're sleep deprived still and there's the emotional pull, although the needs from like family is different from the needs of clients and treatment center work, but it's still a pull energetically anyways. And emotionally, depending on the work and all this other stuff. So, right. It's like depletion in a different way. So, the rage makes sense.
Yeah. The rage was intense. At what
point Rage did you intense. Know like what you had gone through was the postpartum depression anxiety?
Yeah, I really don't have a great answer for that. I can't remember when it started to realize what I had gone through. It was a while, though. It was a while. And I really don't recall exactly, but it was probably sometime I knew I started to feel really interested in working with, once I started to feel better, once I like worked through some of my stuff in therapy, my husband and I also went to couples counseling, which was extremely necessary and helpful. And that was really good too. So once those pieces started to really get supported and shift in these big ways, and I wasn't working, you know, like all day, every day anymore, I started to find myself really interested in working with other moms, other new moms. Like I really found this is like passion, like just like begin to bloom. Mm-hmm. And so that was when I started looking into further training for working with, you know, postpartum families and people. And that was when I found Postpartum Support International. And that was when I found out about their, you know, training course to become certified in perinatal mental health. And perhaps it was actually during the training of that. Perhaps it was during like the, you know, the yeah, I think that might have been when I started to come around to like, oh my gosh, I had that. Oh my gosh, mm-hmm. I had intrusive mm-hmm. thoughts. Mm-hmm. I had those experiences and I had no clue. Right. Like,
yeah, for sure. That happens a lot in those trainings.
Yeah.
Which is great and also part of what makes it so invaluable and also a little bit intense for some folks because you're seeing and hearing yourself. And for I have to say, though, I'm really glad to hear that you wanted to get more training for this and that training is available for it. Because sometimes I'm just going to like give just a brief little soapbox here is that sometimes people don't get training and think that since they've been through something or that know somebody who's been through something that they have adequate training. And it's just, you know, after going through the training, like, oh yeah, I needed this training. So I'm just putting that plug in and really grateful that you sought out training.
Yeah.
Because it's so important. Okay. That was my soapbox.
No, thank you for saying that. I agree. And yeah. And so just putting a time frame on it, it was well over a year. It was probably 18 months after our COVID experience that I figured out that I had suffered from postpartum depression. Yeah.
So that's true for a lot of people. It is really, there's so much going on during that time that it's hard to know what's what, especially if like most of us don't get any kind of training any even mention of it when we're going through grad school or internships. And that's heartbreaking but it's true for a lot of people. So that's part of why it's hard to recognize. You don't know that it's a thing.
That's right.
Yeah. So after seeking out the training and beginning to specialize, things started to make more sense for you.
A lot more sense. Yeah. It was a very validating experience. Yeah.
That's awesome. Yeah. So now you're helping folks who are dealing with similar stuff.
Yes, I am. And it's so meaningful. And it really, truly is just like the thing that gets me most excited doesn't feel like the right word because these moms are struggling. So I don't want to make it sound like that, but truly like it's just sparking something so deep within me, mm-hmm. really taking like, you know, just these wounds that we have and like they get to become our strengths when we, mm-hmm. when we heal through them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And it's important, you know, if you've gone through something similar, like, you know, that you can feel better now.
Yeah.
It's hard to know that when you're going through it. So It's nice to be able to hold that hope for other people.
Absolutely. Yes. That's so well said.
And now in terms of like, where are you now with just, you are in a second pregnancy and how did that feel approaching this pregnancy?
Absolutely. Yeah. And really holding that hope, I think, is a big part of knowing that we can get through it, knowing we made it through it in hindsight, whereas at the time, it felt absolutely impossible. That has a lot to do with the choice to have another baby, have another postpartum experience, potentially have another really difficult postpartum experience. I hope not, but it's always possible. I'm definitely more prepared this time. But so my son was about to turn two. And I, up until that point, had been like, I would like him to have a sibling. I'd like to have two children, and I'm definitely not ready yet. That has been my experience. I'd like to someday, and definitely not right now. And then he was about to turn two, and something really shifted in me. You know, at this point, I was like doing some really great work with some clients who were pregnant and postpartum, and I had really come, you know, there'd been so much time since my own experience, and I'd learned so much about my experience. And it sort of was like all of a sudden, like one day I was like, okay, I think I'm ready. Like, I think I'm ready. I think this is the time. And yeah, just really having so much more information and, you know, so much more preparation. I will seek medication this time if I have an experience like I did last time. Like I will, like psychiatric medication. Like I absolutely will. Like I will be the first one to like determine that needs to happen. And, you know, so I have these like, you know, plans and these ideas, and Karen Kleinman's books have been invaluable just in terms of how to prepare for a postpartum that isn't what you expect. And so now we're expecting our second baby and super excited, and this will complete our family. And yeah, just really the whole thing is so touching, and you know, just how far I think like I've come, how far like my connection with my son has come.
Nice.
It's just really beautiful.
It's lovely just to know that, you know, healing and connection is still available and can still happen. Yes. And a lot of things can happen, even though you had a massive disruption to everything, to your whole life.
Yeah, that's right.
And really scary experience. A lot of people worry about that, being able to get that connection, and you did, and it can happen. So that's awesome. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And it really speaks, I think, to the power of therapy and of, you know, getting support, even when it is scary or maybe shameful to have to do so. I know for me, it was invaluable.
Absolutely is. Thank you for sharing your story, sharing your experience. As you know, from hearing stories, how much hope that can give and how much of ourselves we see reflected in other people, even if the experience wasn't exactly the same. I know that a lot of people went through these scary times during COVID and are possibly still trying to heal from it or put the pieces together. So your story, I'm sure, will be an important part of that for a lot of people.
Oh, thank you so much. And for the opportunity to just get to share.
Yeah. So glad to have you. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you again, Jackie, for sharing your story. And for those of you therapists that are out there listening and going through your own certification process, what I really love about healthcare professionals and helping professionals sharing their story is that it breaks down the additional stigma that there is that we carry as providers, that somehow, because we know enough, we shouldn't be suffering. And honestly, there are some things that we are just not trained on unless you become a specialist. So for those of you who are seeking help, I really encourage you to try and find somebody who has training in perinatal mental health, who has certification in perinatal mental health, because although there are a lot of well-meaning therapists out there, we don't all specialize in everything. It's just like any other healthcare provider, you would not go to a podiatrist if you have migraines. It's all healthcare conditions, but there are people who specialize in different things. So I really encourage you to find a perinatal mental health provider if you yourself need help. And I also encourage you to check out my website, wellmindperinatal.com/courses, and look at the course list to see if there's anything in there that can support you on your journey to understand what you're going through and how you can feel better. All right. Thanks for being with me. Until next time. Please find the Mom and Mind podcast on momandmind.com or wellmindperinatal.com, where you can also find access to my free online mini course that is specifically designed for people experiencing anxiety in the postpartum period. Or you can learn more about the 3.5-hour self-paced course that I created just for managing postpartum stress. You can also connect with us on social media at Mom and Mind on Instagram and Facebook. Thank you for tuning in and learning more about perinatal mental health.
Are you overwhelmed by the things that get in the way of you doing what you want to do? Are you looking for ways to simplify life to better align with your values? Do you want to create space in your schedule so you have room for more of the good stuff? Play, joy, relationships, gratitude, and more? If you answered yes to any of these questions, I invite you to check out Edit Your Life, a podcast to help you edit the unnecessary from your life so you have more room to enjoy the awesome. Through episodes with me, Christine Coe, and a range of super smart, compassionate, and thoughtful guests, you'll come away with big picture insights and practical ways to declutter your home, schedule, and mental space without getting bogged down by perfection. I have always believed that small moments and actions matter tremendously. My goal is to help you find agency and space in your life through doable baby steps that will leave you feeling accomplished instead of overwhelmed. Check out Edit Your Life wherever you enjoy your podcasts.